Are you looking to upgrade your game on and off the field? Triple Crown Jewelry makes the cleanest jewelry in the game so you can show your style. Their jewelry is made by athletes for athletes with durability and style in mind. They make the best-selling number pendants and chains that you're already seeing on the field. Whether your style is gold, matte black, or silver, Triple Crown Jewelry has what you need. Personally, I'm more about the silver, but Triple Crown is ready for whatever your style. The chains look great. They're durable with a shine that stands out. And when you put it on, it has a nice heft to it. You can feel the quality. Your number is yours. It's part of your identity, and Triple Crown knows that. They have numbers from 00 to 99 available, so you can show your number, your identity, on and off the field. Their jewelry will never turn your neck green or fade. They're tarnish-resistant and made to last. These aren't just accessories. They're a statement of your dedication and love for the game. And that shine is unmatched. And in addition to choosing between the three different finishes, you can also choose from a variety of chains, including rope, Franco, and Cuban chains. So try it yourself. If you're ready to elevate your drip on and off the field, get some new drip at triplecrownjewelry.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 25% off your first order site-wide with promo code BA2022. That's BA2022 at triplecrownjewelry.com. And by doing so, you're supporting our podcast. Orders are shipped the same or next business day from New Jersey, and orders over $50 get free shipping. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make a statement both on and off the field. Go to triplecrownjewelry.com and lead the league in drip.
I want to jump right into it. A prospect profile on Jack Leiter making up to the show. Here we go. J.J. Cooper, let's start with you. I know you've been following Jack Leiter for quite some time. He was a star in college. It took him a little bit of time, but that's okay. He's about to turn 24 years old in about a week, and now we'll get to see him for the first time in the bigs with the Texas Rangers. What are you expecting?
One thing I've got to give credit to Jack is coming out of college, it looked like he was just going to cruise to the majors, and actually there's been a lot more adversity, a lot more struggles and difficulties than maybe would have been anticipated when he was the second pick in the 2021 draft. And he's kind of reassessed, adjusted, improved his delivery, and kind of bounced back to get to the big leagues. This is not a pitcher who's had an easy path. He has a career ERA over 5. He's had some times where he's really struggled with control. But since he spent that time last year on the developmental list in 2023, came back, slowed down delivery, simplified delivery, his control improved, his fastball, which has always been an excellent pitch when he could get ahead in counts, has become even better. You put it all together. Now, here he is. He's going to make his MLB debut, and maybe, you know, has a chance to stick around, which is something that this time last year seemed very far away.
Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I was all in on Jack Leiter when the Rangers drafted him, and like JJ said, there, you know, wasn't a whole lot to be excited about over the last couple of years, but to see what he's done this year, and like JJ said, really going back to the very end of last year has been at least encouraging to see. I mean, I think number one, obviously, is just the strikes, right? I mean, kind of obvious. He was walking 5.2 batters per nine innings last year. This year, it's under 2 per 9. He was, you know, he's fallen behind in counts, and hitters are just able to sit on the fastball. And there's some good properties to the fastball, but, you know, when he's not commanding it, especially, it's a very hittable pitch, and he made a lot of mistakes, and hitters made him pay for those mistakes. But I think the other thing this year is the slider too. We're seeing him throw it with a little bit more power this year, but he's also landing it for strikes 72% of the time, which obviously is up from where it was last year. So I think you're seeing him throw the slider a little bit more frequently too, where, you know, he's not always behind in the count 1-0, 2-0, 3-1 counts where hitters are sitting on that fastball and just teeing off on that pitch. So, you know, it's only a few starts this year. I don't want to go overboard, but it's definitely encouraging to see some of the adjustments looking like they're starting to pay off for him.
What Ben said is something that really I think we should watch for as he goes to the majors. Before he was shut down, worked on his delivery, 59% strike percentage. After that, 64% strike percentage. That makes a big difference. But I kind of even going beyond throwing strikes, what I'm going to be very interested to see at the big league level is he locating that fastball? Because if he's in the top third of the zone or above it, he gets a ton of swings and misses. He's got kind of that flat plane. He's got the carry on the fastball. He's got 97, 98, you know, when he needs it. You put all that together, and he's the kind of guy who, on a great night, can go out and strike out 10 and walk no one.
coming into the year, very low expectations just based on the last couple of years, and you know, don't want to go overboard just on a few starts, just based on the history that we've seen the last couple of years. But I thought coming out of the draft, this guy could be a frontline starter, and don't really have those expectations right now. But he seems right now like he could step in and potentially be a solid back of the rotation starter with some upside for more if some of these adjustments are for real and can stick around throughout the course of the season.
Hey, Ben, what have you thought about the Rangers' approach to drafting and developing pitchers lately? Obviously, you know, Kumar Rocker's another big name on that list. You know, there was controversy when he was first picked, doesn't end up signing with the Mets, and, you know, the Rangers end up taking him earlier than most people expected. So, you know, there were some names marinating in the minor leagues that people had been waiting for the last couple years. And in the meantime, they won a World Series.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they've overhauled a lot of things in player development. And if you look back at the last, decade of Rangers pitching development, it's pretty underwhelming. And then you see him trade Cole Reagans to the Royals, and it's like, oh, all of a sudden he looks outstanding. So, you know, haven't been a lot of success stories for the Rangers pitching development program, but if Leiter's able to make these adjustments and it's able to stick and turn into real positive results in the big leagues, that would be, a huge step forward for them.
And this is something where this will be a fun one to watch, because Leiter will be, if he can stick, a development success story for, as yes, even though he was the number two pick in the draft, as we talked about, there's been a lot of work here. I do think that the key thing that the Rangers have done a little bit better lately is they kept these guys healthy. That was, a big problem. If you went back 19-20, there was a whole lot of guys getting hurt. You got to keep these guys healthy. But at the same time, obviously, I'm also going to not nitpick too much when they've had enough. You know, yes, they've traded away some guys also, but if it's trading guys to help you win a World Series, well, then it's quite okay to trade away a Tekoa Roby and guys like that as well.
Hey, JJ, this is probably a good problem to have, but the Rangers have quite a few pitchers on the injured list that could come back at some point later in the year. How do you project Jack Leiter on the short term? Like, let's say he performs well, but he's not like, you know, a one or a two and he's blowing away the league. I mean, eventually there are a lot of arms coming back. And I'm not just talking about the DeGrom, Scherzer, you know, mix. It's Tyler Molly. And then even, you know, Cody Bradford, who just hit the aisle recently for the Texas Rangers, is supposed to be in the back end of their rotation and probably still has a spot when he comes back. But there could be some healthy competition here.
Yeah, and I think that you would look at that this is a little bit of kind of a bonus for Leiter that he's getting up so soon. I don't think if everyone's healthy, that he's the guy they want to have up there yet. Again, you want to see him do this a little bit more. He's been really good so far this year. He was really solid at the end of last season, but he's also not dominating. He's dominating as far as strikeouts and walks, but he gives up a lot of homers. He's still giving up a lot of homers. Last outing out in the minors, he gave up 3 solo homers. I think if everyone's healthy, the Rangers would not have a problem with Jack Leiter kind of getting a chance to further refine in AAA and be more of a factor second half of the season than first. But hey, the situation has arose. He's ready to go enough to where they're comfortable going to him. And so he does have that chance to go out, and there is the potential to dominate in there that could make it really difficult for the Rangers to send him back down. The flip side of that, though, is that he is homer prone, where one bad inning and all of a sudden he could be cruising for 3 or 4, and all of a sudden it's a 4-run inning and you go, okay, well, what happened here? That's kind of the two sides of the coin with what Jack Leiter is right now.
You're looking at some comments here right now in the YouTube chat. Here's Angelo: struggles build character. Yeah, that's true, Angelo. And hey, there's Carlos Collazo, our buddy. Keep that fastball up, Jack. Like you mentioned, JJ, I mean, there's a massive difference here with the way that his fastball is playing up in the zone versus down in the zone, right?
Oh, it's when he's up in the zone or above the zone, it's a swing and miss fastball, which there aren't a whole lot of those in the big leagues. His has the ability to do that. But the difference is if he's middle zone, bottom of the zone, or even below the zone, then it's a fastball that hitters can tee off on. You're talking about the difference between turning every hitter into Aaron Judge if he's low in the zone, or turning every hitter into Nick Ahmed if he's at the top of the zone.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So Jack Leiter, welcome to the show. We're excited to see how his big league debut goes and how he fits in with this Rangers rotation.